Okay. Yep, I'm recording.
I am also recording. So, Mike.
Yeah, Zach?
I heard that you recently came back from New York. What was that like?
That was the best thing in the world. Again, this was my third time in New York, actually. The first time I just went for a day with a friend of mine for a few hours. And then there was another family trip, and then this family trip, which was a couple days. And it was wonderful. I revisited Nintendo World, which
Ah,
is,
so envious.
oh, it's one of the best places on Earth. They changed a few things since I was there. One of the things that I was very upset about is that they were all sold out of Yoshi little plushies.
Oh.
They had them there last time. Me and my sister went there last time. This time it was just me and my parents. My sister was visiting a friend of hers, staying at her apartment. But the one thing she said was, "If you can buy me a Yoshi plushie, I'll pay you back for it. That'll be cool." And they're all out of them. And
That's what she gets
it
for
was
hanging out with
horrid.
a friend, because obviously if she didn't do that and went to Nintendo World, they would have had them.
Exactly.
So
The
joke's on her.
course of history would have changed from
Good
that
job,
one
Mary.
decision.
Now the whole
Terrible.
internet knows.
Now
Good
all
job.
of China knows you're here.
Yeah.
No, but specifically, it was the yellow Yoshi.
Really?
Because me and my sister played Super Mario World on the SNES, the Super Nintendo, as youngins, like there was no tomorrow. That was our go-to game. That was the game we played in the family room on the futon all throughout summer. And we really got far through that thing, almost beat the game. But for some reason, we became like obsessed with Star Road. I don't know if you remember that.
I think I do actually. Isn't that like that's a like batshit crazy level, right?
Yeah, it's like this area. It's like a world outside of like Yoshi's Island or Chocolate Island or any of those places. It's like up in the clouds and junk. And this is where all the it's where you meet all of the special different colored Yoshis.
Yeah, no, I totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So for some reason she had an affinity for the yellow one, named it Sunny. And so she wanted one, but they didn't have it. And I felt awful.
You should.
I do.
Nintendo knew you were coming.
It will haunt my dreams.
Said he has not bought a Wii U yet. Do not stock this Yoshi plushie.
Well, if that's the criteria for restocking the Yoshis,
Probably not gonna have
that
Yoshis for a
store will
while.
be forever barren of Yoshis. They did have the Toon Link, though, so I bought that.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Is that the Wind Waker one or one from Minish Cap? Because I think I've seen versions of both of those at like.
It's actually the Phantom Hourglass version.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yes. Which is cool, because I played that. I liked it.
I tried to like that game. It was not bad, but I think it just got to a point where I was like, it was kind of a take it or leave it for me.
Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. Hello,
Speaking of.
and.
Nope,
No,
sorry.
no, no,
What?
no! Hello
God,
and
you
welcome
never
to
let me
First
talk.
Person Podcast Simulator. My name is Zach, and joining me is.
Mike, as
And we're
always.
talking about his stuff from New York. He just came back from vacation, and I'm sure you have many, many stories and many more photos. Did
Oh,
you take like
God, yeah.
700 photos?
In all, yeah, it was like 700.
Jesus, I almost
Craziness.
wonder how much vacation you really did with all those photos.
I know. It was mostly photos. Go here, take a picture. And then go home. I was
So
going
you.
to mention, before I was so rudely interrupted by the necessary intro to our podcast, that speaking of Zelda games, I recently acquired Twilight Princess.
I'm assuming from the same Nintendo store.
No.
Oh,
From
what a
Half Price
twist.
Books.
Nice.
Just
How much
nearby.
more?
It was. Was it. Let me glance over at it. $25.
That's fair.
They also had Wind Waker there. They
Mmm.
were up on this big display, and I was jumping up and down and like, "These are the games I've been looking for." But Wind Waker was $50,
Yikes.
and I wasn't about to pay that, so I went
Aptly
with Twilight
priced, in my
Princess.
opinion, for both of those.
I'm sure. I mean,
The thing is with Twilight Princess, I spent like 7 hours playing it, and we might have talked about this before too, but there are just these certain parts where they try and make you do what I feel like are like slightly unnecessary kind of bits. You'll see what I'm talking about. I want you to like start playing through it and see what. Or wait, oh no, you probably got it for GameCube though, didn't you?
I did, yeah.
Oh, lucky. Yeah, because I tried to play it for Wii and it's just. I mean, it's not bad.
Are there are there differences between the two games? Like, hey, look at this motion thing you can do.
I think actually literally the only difference between them, and I could completely be wrong on this, but I think they're actually mirrored, horizontally mirrored.
Really?
Yeah. I think that's a thing.
That's a really strange thing to do.
Fucking Nintendo, you know?
Wow.
Yeah. So everything, I think, is horizontally reversed. That's including crazy. The text.
You wanted to read? Well, too bad.
No, that's neat, though. I'm curious to know your opinion on that, just because I could not... I probably just didn't get to a point in which I really started to like it, because, you know, there's, like, that preliminary, like, necessary to-do stuff in every Zelda game before the world really opens up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, in the Ocarina of Time, it's essentially before you, like, hit Hyrule Field, or some would even consider before you, like, are able to travel through time. And then you can really, like, do everything. For Wind Waker, that's kind of like after you've gone to two or three islands, and then the whole map is opened up for you to discover things.
Yeah, they're teaching you the game for a certain period of time.
Yeah, and Twilight Princess, I guess I just didn't have the patience to go through some of that stuff. So, but I want you to let me know what you think, though.
Yeah, totally. I just hit Hyrule Field last night, actually.
Oh, cool.
I had some more to say about Nintendo World, if we could. I was going to mention that they changed a few things since the last time I was there, besides being completely out of Yoshi's, for which I will never forgive them.
Did they just put you after all the Wii stuff that they had in there?
Yes, actually everything. It's now called Nintendo World U. And no. Oh, dear God, no. They had a bunch of, you know, their 3DS thing set up still. I wanted to get my hands on Donkey Kong, but I was buying things, so I didn't have a chance.
Oh, Donkey Kong Country Returns?
Yeah, for the 3DS.
That is, I've played the Wii version of that. I own the Wii version of that. I think it's actually still at Dave's because we wanted to co-op it.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty fun. Sweet. I like it. Yeah. So
yeah, we loved that game on the SNES, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's a straight-up port, I think, which I don't know if it is, but good game. Fun stuff.
Cool. Yeah, and so they're upstairs, their Nintendo World is two floors, and upstairs is their, like, I guess more of their merch store, because downstairs they have their 3DS set up, and then what they call their Pokemon Center.
Ooh.
It's, like, dedicated exclusively to Pokemon, and there's billions
of figurines.
Oh my
god, did you take pictures of those?
I don't think I did.
Of everything that you were taking pictures of, you didn't...
Well, I didn't take pictures of that because upstairs, even more amazing than that, is they have this huge glass case. They totally revamped the history of Nintendo.
Ooh.
And it's just giant sections all the way from back when they were selling trading cards all the way up to the Wii U.
That is super baller.
It's really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. They used to have that in just this one slim display case. Now they put it up and it's like a wall of like five or six or seven display cases.
Oh, awesome.
More stuff, and yeah, it was really cool. And then in that smaller display case, there was a bunch of Lego Nintendo things, which was crazy.
Awesome.
Like, I took a bunch of pictures and video of that. You can go check out the vlog. And
I will have to check that out, because that sounds really cool.
The coolest thing in that case with the Lego stuff, though, was this like half-melted and charred Game Boy.
What?
And there's this placard next to it that says, "This Game Boy survived the Gulf War." It was in the Gulf War. It's, like, charred and not the correct shape anymore. And the thing is still playing Tetris.
Whoa.
They have the display still going with Tetris.
That's pretty impressive.
That's amazing. See, they used to make things that were solid back in the day.
Yes.
Back in the 80s and 90s.
Back when they weren't trying to recreate computers, essentially.
Right.
That's really what I ended up having. Like, the whole Red Ring of Death thing is pretty much just because, like, the 360s were trying to do too many things. It's a DVD player and a music player, and you can also go online and you can watch Netflix and brah, brah, brah.
Totally, yeah. And that's why all the next-gen presentations are saying, hey, look at our chip architecture and our RAM and everything. It's because they're building PCs.
Oh, yeah, they totally are. cool though. I think Dave has also been to Nintendo World, and
oh, yeah?
I'm equally jealous. Well, I mean, of course he has.
Yeah.
speaking of which, though, you finally finished, or not, well, you had been finished for a while, but you finally threw up the documentary.
Yes, that is on the YouTubes now for the viewing with your eyeballs.
Which channel?
That's over on my EganWorks channel, which is where I'm hoping to throw more productions.
What's it called?
YouTube.com/EganWorks.
No, the thing. No, the movie.
I was finishing my sentence.
How dare you?
The documentary is called Duct Tape Dave, because it's about Dave, and he likes duct tape.
I watched it. I saw it during the viewing thing.
Yes, you were there. We had a small viewing party. Very exclusive. Friends only.
Yeah, sorry, guys. God. Everyone else. Gotta get with us. Get in that Midwest.
Jeez. This is where it's at.
Guys.
They call it the Silicon Wind. That's all I had. Oh, that's all I could think of.
They need to get better at coming up with names, whoever they are.
They. Damn you, they.
No, it was good, though. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. I think it turned out nice. There's a lot more footage still left over from that, that if I were to revisit it, I would like to make, like, a director's cut or something of it, maybe pad it out a little more. But I had a deadline to meet, so...
No, right? I mean, it was for school, too, and you were expected to do an 8 to 10 minute thing.
Right.
And you pretty much... Didn't you have, like, a month to do it?
We kind of had all semester to do it, but yeah, we had some other projects, so the time that we were just working on the documentary was pretty much kind of a month.
I mean, I think that's pretty impressive to churn something out by yourself for the most part.
Right.
In only a month.
Yeah. With help, of course, from the Master Boom op that was available to me.
I just held a stick.
That's all. And held it very well, is what I'm saying.
No, that was very cool, though. Very good job.
Thank you. I'm very proud of it. So, games things.
Yeah, start off on a bit of a low note, unfortunately. We just found this out. Was this today or, like, yesterday or something that this happened?
I found it yesterday, yeah.
So, unfortunately, one of the developers for the Oculus Rift, whose name I don't know because I'm an ignorant son of a bitch.
Andrew Scott Reese.
Unfortunately, Andrew Scott Reese is no longer with us because I guess he was... I mean, you probably read over... I skimmed it. I didn't read it entirely. Was he killed by, like, during a police chase? He got hit by a car during a police chase?
He was an innocent bystander, and there was a police chase. This was in Santa Ana, California. Apparently, he was killed on Thursday. The news... broke yesterday, I think.
The fucking odds.
But yeah, he was just out for a walk, and then police chase happens. Police chase is known for being fast, and including cars. Just sort of whipped by and hit him.
Such a shame.
So now the driver who killed him, in addition to allegedly being... gang member who was in a police chase is now going to possibly face murder charges for killing this guy.
Man.
But it's crazy. Oculus Rift is something that has been pretty prevalently in the public eye.
Yeah, I've been seeing it slowly get more and more popular.
Mm-hmm.
More videos of Oculus Rift demos popping up.
Yeah, so... Who knows what this will mean for the future of Oculus VR?
No, right. It's a great shame, too. I mean, it sucks totally. Whenever you hear stuff like this happen in the industry.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, not that I can pinpoint too many other ones that happened recently. The most recent one that I remember happening is the co-founder of Reddit committing suicide. But still.
Was he the co-founder of Reddit, really?
Yes.
He was, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Crazy. I should know his name off the top of my head. It's so sad that I don't.
I mean, I don't feel that bad since I don't go on Reddit, but, I mean, everyone has heard of that.
Yeah, but he was a huge personality in the, not just the hacker community, but the online activism.
Oh.
Too.
Oh, okay.
I believe he started or was involved some way in... he was really involved in the EFF, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, if you've heard of them. And he started another group that I know I get emails from all the time. It's something to do with online activism and, you know, privacy and rights and junk.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's just, it's such a shame when news like that hits home.
Yeah.
In terms of the industry.
Another example of a guy who's in the prime of his life and in the middle of this huge thing that's taking the games industry by storm, taking off. Sad.
Incredibly. Definitely makes you think.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you love, guys.
And, you know, like, look both ways before you cross the street.
Not funny. Not even funny.
Too soon.
Jesus.
It is important, though.
Yeah. Yes, do that.
So, yeah. Sadness. I lift my glass of orange juice to his memory.
Man, I want some orange juice.
No, you don't. I'm drinking it because I'm getting sick.
No! What's with you, man? You are not good at staying healthy.
I know. This one isn't my fault. My sister brought something home from New York, and now it's affecting
fucking
me.
Fucking man. She, like, spite-sicked
you. Know,
she...
first... That's... Oh, my God. There's motive behind this.
See?
I didn't even put those together.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I said, fucking Mike didn't give me a fucking Yoshi. I'm gonna sneeze all over his
that's
Twilight
exactly
Princess
what it
disc.
Was. We need to have a talk, me and her.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I used to think she was a decent person, too.
You know?
No. Little did I know.
Mm-mm.
So, what else have you been playing besides Twilight Princess, then?
That's something I have to think about. Not a whole lot, actually. I just, I just got back from New York, and then I started work on Thursday, so, like, right away. And I haven't really had any time to sink into anything other than Twilight Princess, I don't think. I don't know if I mentioned, I finally finished, Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Woo!
Yeah, which was amazing. Love that game.
Good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those that I'm sure if I started to kind of get involved with, if I had more of, like, a way to get into that game, I'm sure I would dig it, but it's kind of expensive.
Yeah, I actually found it, I think it was a Steam sale they were having.
Mm-hmm.
Where it was down to, like, $5 or 15.
Oh, my God. It's nuts.
Yeah. I think I got it for 15 because it came with, like, an art book and the soundtrack and stuff like that.
Ah, oh, art books are so cool.
I know. So that was cool.
Sweet.
I think that's kind of all, though,
for
me. What about you?
Well, since we last talked, I actually started BioShock. And
oh, the first one.
Yes, the first
nice.
BioShock. And it's, you know, for the longest time, like, all of my friends have been into it, like Sean and Dave and Gino, and like all of them had played it and known it and were always giving me shit about not having played it ever. Especially because it's like, I don't know, it's almost the equivalent of not having played Portal in this day and age.
Yeah. I still haven't played it.
Portal?
No, BioShock.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, God, dear, no.
I say, like, get kicked off. You're off the podcast.
I know. Jeez. I mean, I would be okay with that, with you kicking me off. If I hadn't played Portal.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm very proud to be a part of this
it's
podcast.
It's like, do you not want to do this anymore?
No.
Yeah, but I finally started that, and after... Initially, it was a little bit shaky, like, because it kind of just, like, forces you into this narrative, and the way that does that isn't, like, the smoothest, but the more that you get, like, acclimated to... the type of story it's trying to tell you and the specific kind of perspective, it's like the more things flow and just kind of work out in terms of narrative. But in terms of gameplay too, unfortunately, I bought it for PC, but I'm playing it so that Mika can watch it as well. So I've got that hooked up to a TV. Also, my D key is missing, making WASD kind of hard.
Right. man, yeah.
From a computer surgery or two. So I'm using a 360 controller, which... it's kind of clunky, but that's kind of my fault, I guess.
Is there no way, does no one sell, like, just keys?
The thing is, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I haven't contacted Toshiba about it because I kind of just wanted to send in my computer and just be like, yeah, just if you just like replace every key and like see what you can do about that. Mm-hmm. It's not under warranty anymore though, so I don't. Okay. And like the D key still works. It's just you have to know the angle to hit it at.
Oh God.
So.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with that.
Yeah, I'm. If this thing just lasts long enough until I get like a real big person job, then that's really all I'm asking for. And it's doing fine. Just you know, it's kind of a D key missing.
MSI just came out with their newest gaming laptop.
Oh really?
Yes.
That's not the one that
you could just build a desktop.
Well, that is in the far off future. I will do that. That's a thing that made me want to do real bad. Just build a computer. Anyways, though, back to BioShock. Yeah, getting used to the controls was like kind of fine, but I get it. Like seeing all of the like gameplay elements and everything that are present in that game, I really understand why it's good. Like it rewards exploration in a good way. Like you can just go about doing like the main bits of missions, but the more you explore, the more like small things that you acquire, like stuff even further than just like money and health. Like you get these certain boosts to I forget the specific name that they're called. They're like these passive things that just it's like, oh, like now you hit harder with your wrench and stuff like that. It's small things. Okay. And you don't have to find those, but when you do it feels kind of cool. And along with finding those, you find more of these like recordings from people giving you a better idea of what Rapture was like before, like, you know, it went to shit. So
yeah, it's the same in like there's a lot of that in Infinite.
Oh, cool. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of assume that's like a never-present thing in like for all three games, or at least I would hope, because it's a pretty neat part.
Yeah.
But yeah, digging that so far, probably will keep on enjoying that. Also started Anodyne, which I tried to record a Let's Play for.
Right.
And as it turns out, I do not use my brain when I'm trying to like talk through Let's Plays, because... I'm looking at these. It doesn't help that like some of the dungeons in that game aren't laid out the best. But it's like this like really like simple thing. If I would have just looked at the map, I would have been able to find this room. But I spent like 20 minutes trying to figure out what I wasn't doing right in this dungeon.
Okay.
So I got kind of discouraged. So maybe Anodyne's not the best game to start like a Let's Play on. But I'm gonna keep playing through that because as I mentioned to you before, like this is one that David mentioned to me and thought that I should play. I was talking with him about this, and we kind of agreed. It's like the gameplay is kind of like a shittier Zelda, unfortunately, where like the dungeons aren't like super well designed and like the combat isn't that great, but everything else is fantastic. Like the music is really good, the atmosphere of it's great. So far, the writing is really funny.
Nice.
And I hear it's supposed to be pretty short. There's like, I think there's an achievement where. Specifically, like, I think it's only got like 4 achievements too. It's like, hey, speedrun the game in under 3 hours. I'm like, oh shit, like that. Okay, then this can't be that long. I think he said he beat it in like 6. So, I want to take care of that because I've got a huge indie game backlog going on.
Oh yeah.
Then the only other one that we, me and Mike have been playing Mario Party 8 because we really like Mario Party games.
Nice.
But the only shame in that is that it's part of, like, the newer generation Mario Party games that try and use the Wiimote way too much. Like, it's got too much waggle going on in some of the minigames. So it's not the fact that you're, like, too dumb to play them or that you're too unskilled. It's the fact that the Wiimote just kind of sucks sometimes.
Put that on the back of the box.
Yes.
Too much waggle going on.
Too much waggle going on. Zach Bruin.
Bit of a dubious accolade, but it's there.
Yeah, no, but that's still fun because we just like talk shit the whole time against the computers, which is just the best. But yeah, that for the most part has been it for me. But both you and me have been spending money on games recently still.
Yeah.
Have you bought anything besides the newest Humble Bundle?
I haven't bought that yet.
Ah, what's wrong with you?
I was going to mention it, that I wanted to.
Should buy it right now, while we're live. You should
while
do it.
We're live.
Yep, just type that in. But yeah,
I might.
You know, I got a link sent to me with the newest Humble Bundle, and I saw that if you went over, like, I think it was, like, over $5.50, you got, what is it? It was two games. It was Proteus,
yes,
I believe.
And that Hotline one. Miami.
Yes, both of which I'm excited to play, only because like there was a brief blip where Proteus kind of made a bit of a stir.
Yeah.
Where right. It was this... It seemed kind of like a Dear Esther kind of thing, only prettier,
mm-hmm.
where it wasn't so much an actual game, but you walked through different areas and different things would happen, and it was a very like music-oriented game.
Right, yeah.
I guess. So very artsy, very stylized. Doesn't last that long, I don't think. So I was kind of skeptical, but the Destructor, I'd give it a pretty good review, so I want to give it a go. I don't want to just,
cool.
you know, judge it so harshly.
Yeah, I heard good things.
Mm-hmm.
And Hotline Miami, which got very good reviews, I'm sure.
Yes, I am very psyched about that.
Oh, yeah.
Heard supposed to have pretty good music, too.
Yeah, and you...
Hooray for good music and games.
Do you get the Hotline Miami soundtrack as well?
You know what? I think so. I'm not 100%. I don't think there might have been an option to download that.
I don't see it.
Maybe not.
Here. Oh. Okay. This just in.
Yeah.
Bungie's next Project Destiny is up for pre-order.
What?
According to my email inbox. I, like, just this second got an email from Bungie saying, hey, pre-order Destiny. Here's your introduction to Bungie's new game.
So, essentially what you're saying is that you're totally throwing down money on that.
Yeah, no.
What was the premise of that again? I know we talked about it, but it seemed...
Yeah, a little bit.
Even though you tried to explain it, it still seemed like a vague thing.
Yeah, let's see if following the links in this email will...
Is that the ever-changing MMO that's also a TV series?
No, that's that crazy-ass other thing that was at the Xbox One event, along with TV, 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 and Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Yeah, by the way, if you are even vaguely interested in games, which I assume you are because you're listening to this, why else would you? There is this hilarious video. Just go into YouTube. I think typing in... Xbox One conference summary will give you a pretty apt idea of what that was like in about a minute and 40 seconds. It's really good. Please watch it.
Speaking of someone who watched the entire thing live, you can just watch that and know exactly what happened.
Yes.
Which is a little sad.
Yep.
Okay, so I found some info on Destiny.
Enlighten
background.
Me. Please read in your most dramatic voice.
Oh, yes. Dim the lights. Everything changed with the arrival of the Traveler. It sparked a golden age when our civilization spanned the solar system, but it didn't last. Something hit us, knocked us down. The survivors built a city beneath the Traveler and have begun to explore our old worlds, only to find them filled with deadly foes. You are a guardian of the last safe place on Earth, able to wield incredible power. Defend the city. Defeat our enemies. Reclaim all that we have lost. Be brave. Thank you. Thank you. Not my best dramatic voice. I am getting sick.
So when you're more sick, you should actually probably sound better. Isn't that
yes.
a thing? Like, your vocal cords get all mucousy and gross, and you sound, like...
Wonderful.
Supposed to have a better...
That does
voice.
Happen, no. The last time I was sick, I found that I sounded like almost exactly like Johnny Cash.
Oh, shit.
At least to my sick mind, I did.
That's hilarious when you consider, like, you're this kind of gangly kid, too.
I know, right? And I'm sitting at home singing Folsom Prison Blues, sadly, to myself. Good times.
The more you know. Well, okay, so Destiny sounds pretty generic.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that was the story of the game. Key features, the next evolution of entertainment, an incredible story set within a newly imagined, always connected universe. That seems to be the key, the always connected thing.
Okay.
Filled with action and adventure, create your character, so RPG elements, forge your legend by defeating powerful foes, and earn unique and customizable weapons, gear, and vehicles. Unprecedented variety of FPS gameplay, including story, cooperative, and competitive multiplayer modes, combined with public and social activities.
So I guess that kind of tells us what's going on.
Yeah. There was also this big ol' Vidoc of development of it and what it is. that you can check out at their website, or I think it might be on YouTube or through Polygon or somebody.
All right, cool.
It was, it looked like, pretty huge. Like, they've been working on this for years, and they intend for it to possibly never die. It's like an, this always connected thing is like the world is, what do they call it? Persistent worlds is like the thing that they keep talking about with their, all the upgraded stuff for next gen consoles. So like this world will continue to exist even when you're not playing in it.
I mean,
pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where they take that, because just saying that, I mean, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, because, like, oh, technically, like, any, like, World of Warcraft is technically a persistent world that lives when you're not there, too. But
yeah, that's true.
I'm interested to see, like, what cool ways they implement that, because I really mm-hmm. like that stuff. I remember, like, one of the earliest to do it was, I guess, kind of, in a sense, Animal Crossing, I guess, because things would happen whether you were there or not. And it was really cool because you would come back and, like, people would have mailed you things, or there would, like, your trees would grow over time. And it just, I mean, small stuff like that. It would definitely measure the span of time. Or if you didn't play for, like, 3 months, you went back to your house, people have, like, cockroaches and cobwebs and shit. And people would be like, oh, fuck, where have you been? Like, yeah, it's been 3 months since you've seen him. It's like, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'll never leave you again.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in the theory of a persistent world. I just want to see what is, like, the actual point of that, and
yeah,
you know,
totally.
how big of a deal they'll make of it.
Yeah, because, like, well, A, I hope it's not just them saying, hey, we're bringing MMOs to console now, because they've kind of already done that in other ways.
Yeah.
But, and with Animal Crossing, it was, like, just this thing where the game would turn on and measure what the time was, calculate how long it's been, and affect it that way, just, like, update itself on
turn. Yeah, like, technically it's not really a persistent world,
right.
But
it gives the illusion of that.
Yeah, it creates the illusion of, like, this living, breathing, you know, community, I guess.
Yeah, but what they're talking about here is, like, the idea of banks of servers that are constantly running the game, and you're just, like, hopping in and out of it, which is kind of weird.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the unveiling of that.
Yeah, I hope for that to be interesting. I never want things to inevitably fail, even though Bungie's never really put out anything that I've cared about, but I like the idea. It sounds very interesting and very experimental.
Yeah. A little disappointed that it's an FPS, but it is Bungie, so.
What else is Bungie gonna do?
Right.
So, do you remember the whole Curiosity? I think that's what the Molyneux game
was
called.
What's inside the cube?
Yeah.
Yes, I do.
The idea behind Curiosity is that it is a mobile game, and Peter Molyneux made it, so you know it's going to be less than what he talks about.
Right.
You pretty much just, you tap at this cube, and there's something in the middle of the cube, and if when you, one person out of these thousands, and hopefully not millions, who have downloaded it, one person gets to the middle of the cube, to which Molyneux said it would, I think in quotes he said it would be life-changing.
And it was not so much.
It depends on your perspective, I guess. But, I mean, the thing that sounds to me, back to, like, this Curiosity thing, is that you could actually spend money to buy, like, I guess different pickaxes or, like, different tools that would allow you to break more blocks.
Yeah.
There was actually a $50,000 option to where you, I guess you just
what?
Got this. Yeah. No, you could buy this souped-up pickaxe.
Who is going to spend $50,000 on this game where you tap on a cube?
Allegedly one person did.
No.
I don't know how true that is.
No, tell me no. What?
I mean, I don't want to believe it either, but...
Oh my God, I have to meet this person.
And kill them.
And introduce myself as a Nigerian prince. Seeing as you have gobs of money to throw around.
Yeah, no shit to spend on this dumb game. But anyways, the whole life-changing thing at the center of the cube was the person who got it gets to essentially be like this... They get to be a god in Molyneux's new game called Goddess, which I guess is supposed to... I mean, he's done god games before. He's done Black and White, he's done Dungeon Keeper, stuff like that.
Yeah, he's sort of known as the godfather of god games. No pun intended.
Oh, also, the godfather talking out his fucking ass.
Yeah, that too.
I don't like Molyneux.
Good job, Molyneux.
Anyway, but yeah, so that guy gets to be a god for a certain amount of time in this new, interesting sounding kind of god game where there are players acting as like regular mortals and I guess some other people acting as gods in this world. So I guess the whole point of it is that there will be interactions between these two sides, and you can kind of like try and usurp or overthrow like your own god or just like worship him and stuff. I haven't read too much into it. The idea sounds really interesting, but I am very dismissive since it's something that Peter Molyneux is doing.
Yeah.
You can really forgive him after Fable 3.
I'd also like to point out how hilarious it is that this whole Curiosity thing was essentially just a big publicity stunt for his game. Gods.
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, congratulations, you've completed Curiosity. Your prize is to play my actual game.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe we can all take a lesson from this, because potentially this whole fake Curiosity game thing could have bought him more time to develop his actual game. So maybe studios need to put out more fake games that are just precursors to the games that they're spending actual time working on.
I'd fucking kill myself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it depends. I mean, I don't know.
No, it doesn't. I was joking. That's a terrible idea.
No, yeah, don't. Hey, game developers, don't.
Because, you know, we're like the pulse of the industry, and all the developers listen to us, so we need to be clear in what we're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Molyneux, I'm sure he shed a tear now, like, hearing how disappointed we were in him.
Totally.
And good. But yeah, that's the thing. I think the overall idea of Goddess is interesting.
Yeah, it does sound interesting.
You know, but you can't believe a single thing that he says about it.
Anything.
Yeah.
Is Peter Molyneux even his real name?
Who knows?
We don't know.
I trust Peter Molyneux more than I do Peter Molyneux.
I love that Twitter account.
It's very good.
Everybody follow at Molyneux right now.
Yeah, please. We've mentioned this before, but it's essentially a person who comes up with fake game ideas, but they sound like they might be ideas that Peter Molyneux would put out.
Oh, yeah. It's stuff he would totally say.
It's very, very good. So yeah, in other news, time to play the What's Microsoft Done Wrong This Week game.
We should have an intro for that.
Oh my god, yeah, we should.
Just play it all the time.
Maybe it'll be a new weekly segment.
Yeah.
So anyways, aside from the Xbox One, we talked about the Xbox One conference. We heard it was a lot of TV and sports and Call of Duty and stuff that we weren't really interested in. However, there are other details and things like the big used game deal. Did we talk about that last week at all? No, yeah, we totally did.
Yeah,
I remember being super pissed.
Left unclear like that and indie support.
I remember specifically being finished with the podcast and then Mika was saying like, yeah, you got kind of loud. It's like, oh yeah, I was talking about Microsoft.
Oh, understandable. Okay.
Yes, very good. Yeah, so besides that though, it kind of relates to that, I suppose. The one thing that we failed to mention though was that there wouldn't be a way for people to self-publish on the next Microsoft game console.
Right, that's something that wasn't really talked about.
Which is pretty much just a slap in the face to indie developers.
Totally, and it's really weird for them to leave them out after the Sony event really clearly called out, you know, their love and support for developers, and specifically indies.
Yeah, it literally doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Even to the point where I think Nintendo released a statement where they said it was really kind of sad that that was the route that they were taking.
And, like, to have Nintendo say that, like, they're not doing anything either.
It's super weird. But, yeah, so now that there are two... Go ahead.
I'm about to make a statement in which Nintendo is Hitler. I would just like to point that out to everybody. This is what it is. Microsoft is Stalin, and Hitler puts out a PR statement saying, I think it's sad that Stalin is murdering so many of his own people.
Well,
it's the pot calling the kettle black, is what it is.
It
was a long walk to that joke, but I stand by it.
That's true. I don't know if the Wii U is actively discouraging like indie development in quite the same way that the Xbox One might be, though.
Mm-hmm. Just, but we certainly haven't heard a lot. And Nintendo hasn't had a very good history with indies.
No, that's true. I mean, they've done a few things like Cave Story, and I think Retro City Rampage is on the Wii as well. So it's kind of a start, but there are definitely a lot more people who speak out against Microsoft's way of doing things with indie devs in terms of the whole publishing process and the hoops that they need to jump through.
Fez, Team Meat.
Yeah, Team Meat as well as Retro City Rampage. So they said that there wouldn't be open development stuff, which doesn't make sense, which only, shoots yourself in the foot in terms of wanting to impress more indie devs, which there are quite a bit of them now.
Rising tide of games, and it's all indies, and your latest console isn't going to support that?
Mm-hmm. Right. But what I wanted to get to is that there were statements in, like, interviews with the PR people saying that, oh, no, we weren't clear about the used games thing. We weren't, we might actually do the indie dev thing. So my big question is, Microsoft, do you want anyone to trust you? Like,
seriously?
Ever? Like, at all? Like,
it just furthers my point that these events aren't saying anything. There's no point to any of this.
Yeah. If you can just, like, snap your fingers and be like, oh, no, we didn't, like, sweep that shit under the carpet. We love indie developers, and we weren't clear about the used games, and even though it was our people saying it, it creates this big, like, confusing mist of, well, what do you mean? And I don't understand how they think that they're looking good right now.
Totally. This is the problem with the big three, is because they used to be... And I hate, I'm going to sound so hipster, but they used to be about the games.
No, that's what game consoles were for.
And they're not anymore. They're about their PR team and what's going to look best.
Mm-hmm.
And so they backpedal. It's like politicians. It's a political thing.
Oh, my God. The day that is more true is the day that I retire from games.
Yes.
That's not true, though, because there's always going to be people who understand what, like, games are all about, I hope.
Like the actual developers, as opposed to the company.
Yeah. More developer stuff, please.
Yes.
It's just so strange.
It's like they just wanted to have an event for their TV garbage, and because Sony had an event.
Yeah.
And then they did the exact opposite of what Sony did. Which was talk about games.
That's what it seems like. And now since the Xbox One reveal, there's been a lot more press from Sony being like, yeah, we're going to be the console for, like, gamers and next generation.
Yeah, they totally left that open for Sony to do. That's on Microsoft.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm happy for. I totally embrace PS4.
Yeah. I've never been a big Xbox fan.
Yeah, so. I mean, I got a 360, and there were some things I played on there, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
There just seemed like there was so many more interesting things on the PS3 that I liked. So, yeah. Good job, Microsoft.
Wah, wah. That's where we would have a sound effect.
Nope. No. I used to have a link to that button in my bookmark specifically. There was a button that you could press
on
any browser, it was like some trombone or something doing the womp womp.
Yeah.
I think I still have that somewhere, too.
It was a very small era of internet things.
Yeah. I think there was a good Inception blah button, too.
I still got that, too, yeah. Good stuff.
Yes.
Also the, what's his name? From the old Johnny Carson show. Ed McMahon.
Yeah?
Yep. His hi-o.
Oh.
Still got
excellent.
That.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, one last small thing that actually is related to games. News on Anamanaguchi's Kickstarter. Actually, let me check the grand total, but I know the other day they definitely passed their stretch goal of 250,000, which means they are going to have a game jam.
Nice.
The game jam is going to be based around their tracks, so that's going to be baller.
That is really exciting.
Grand total, $277,399.
Wow.
Yep, it just ended today, and they are incredibly excited.
Oh, I'm sure.
They recently released a music video for their first track as well, which I think is just, I think that's the one that's actually called Endless Fantasy, where they sent a piece of pizza into space. They hooked it up to a helium balloon and put a GoPro camera up on it.
Wow.
And they've got footage of this slice of cheese pizza going up into, like, the upper atmospheres of the Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually sent pizza into space.
Yeah, they had a funny update about it, too. He's like, just so you know, like, so we're clear, one of the first things that we did with your Kickstarter money was send a piece of pizza into space, and here's the video.
Oh. I wouldn't have expected anything less.
Yep. Oh, you guys. No, that's super exciting, though, and they constantly keep talking about this idea that they want this to be not an album that ever dies, but, like, about the fact that, like, an album gets released, people listen to, and it kind of, like, tapers off after that. Like, some people do some shows, and there's some live performances, and that's all good and well, but they want it to have a longer lifespan than that.
Yeah.
They want to do more art and more remixes and have people come in and do more vocals for different tracks. And obviously with these, like, games that they're going to be doing for this game jam, I think they really want to prolong the potential life of this thing, which I hope works out. I hope there's not, like, people don't get burnt out on or anything, which I don't know if that's going to really be a problem. It's like a 22-track album.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty beefy. And I know they want to do more videos and stuff. So kudos to them.
Totally, yeah.
Only good things going their way.
Oh, yeah. Did they have a deal for vinyl?
They did. I do not remember how much you need to donate for that. But they definitely had a deal for vinyl.
Damn.
Sorry, dude. And I don't know if that'll be going up on their store. I'm not sure how much they're actually going to be selling. I'm not sure if they want to do, like, a whole merch thing. But, I mean, hopefully some things will be coming to their store, though. I think they're definitely still working on stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Sweet. Well, I'm really happy for them.
As am I. Sorry you had to miss them, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It was a pretty fun time.
Just the perfectly terrible timing.
It's pretty ironic, too, since they're from New York and they do a lot of shows in New York. They choose the date to go to New York.
And the one time I'm actually in New York is when they are here in Chicago.
Yep. And when they're in the Midwest.
God damn it.
Terrible luck.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Anyways, you want to call it? You got anything else?
I think so. I don't really have anything to talk about. I had a thought, though.
Did it leave?
No, it is still here.
Okay, good. Do it.
As just kind of a thing we could do, maybe go through what's on our wish list on Steam.
Oh, okay. Sure.
Like the top five, top three.
Yeah, sure. I think I've only got, like, maybe... The thing is, my... Oh, shit. I'd have to log into Steam. Well, this will be an edit. Hold on.
Oh.
Logging into Steam, got a really long password.
Brilliant.
Thank you. Been working on that one.
It shows.
Yeah, the unfortunate thing is that a majority of mine are, like, these AAA games, for the most part, that I really want. So it's like, oh, $40, $40, $30. So... Well, but you go ahead. Cool. You go first.
Okay, because I was... What's that?
I'm curious as to how many you have total on there.
Oh, yeah. Scrolling, 24.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, crap. Yeah, so the Humble Bundle made me think of it. When you said backlog of indie games, I thought of backlog of indie games I have to buy still.
Ah.
So I'll just do the top five, because those are kind of the biggest ones that I want to get...
Okay.
Starting with number five, which is Retro City Rampage, which you mentioned, because that looks real good.
Oh, yeah.
Open world, Rampage.
It's pretty much like a...
Good times.
It's a love letter to, like, old gaming and a lot of, like, funny references in a... Like, sort of in an old-style GTA.
Yeah.
Like, you remember those first two where it was top-down?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I want that very badly.
Yeah, it looks good.
Mm-hmm.
Number four... Runner 2. BitTrip presents Runner 2.
I'm a little bit sore from playing the first one because it is not a game that I enjoy as much as I want to.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's so fucking frustrating. I can't do
it. I know. I haven't even finished the first one, but the second one looks really pretty.
It does.
And I want to see what they can do with it,
mm-hmm.
besides just a graphics overhaul. Number three, Monaco.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Yeah, a game I keep forgetting about until I check my wish list. Looks really good. Not sure about playing it by yourself, but with a group of friends, it would probably be totally amazing.
Oh, nah. Yeah, I'm sure it would be fantastic.
At number two, Evoland.
Say at number two? Oh, you're going up from five?
Yeah, from five to one. Evoland. I don't know if you remember, I talked about this one.
No, what is that?
It's this RPG that, like, progresses through the ages of RPGs as you play.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It looks really cool, because, like, the graphics update as you play it, and, I don't know, it's a crazy idea to me, and I really want to check it out.
Cool.
And, of course, at number one, Fez.
Ah, yes. Oh, wait, Fez is not on mine. What?
Whoa.
Crazy. I'll
have
to
bucks.
Add that one.
$10.
Oh, it's not bad at all.
Yeah.
Okay, I've only got 9 on mine, so I'll just go through them real quick. I mean, some of them I want slightly less, because mm-hmm. this isn't super updated, but going through, first one, Borderlands 2. I have some friends who play Borderlands 2 on PC. I play it with Dave on the, on PS3, and it's really awesome. I like it a lot. So, but that, it's unfortunately still hanging on at like $40, so that'll probably be a bit.
Yeah.
Next one, XCOM Enemy Unknown, which I've mentioned before. It's just, it seems like a really cool tactical game that I would like. I haven't really played one of those in a long, long time. Kind of like, I don't know, I guess it would kind of play like a more updated, like Fire Emblem, but with guns and stuff.
Okay, yeah.
So, yeah. And, like, on top of that, there are other systems that control other things, like, throughout the main, like, combat of the game, so I am all about that. Next one, Dishonored. Just
because
it's supposed to generally be a pretty good game.
Totally.
Left 4 Dead 2, because that's supposed to be just, like, a fun social game, I guess. It's one of those... Mm-hmm. It's kind of, like, got the same lasting impressions as TF2 does for some people, where, like, thousands of people are still playing it. Like, there are a lot of mods for Left 4 Dead 2, and it just kind of still makes it fun.
Sweet.
Then we've got Antichamber at number 5,
because
that just looks awesome.
Yeah.
Then FTL.
Which is a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, you have that, don't you?
Yeah.
Cool.
Good stuff.
And then Retro City Rampage, of course.
Nice.
Then Skyrim and Rayman Origins.
Oh, yeah.
Which is another one of those, like, everyone says it's good, so you should probably get it. You dumb idiot, why don't you have it yet?
Right. I think that's actually the description on Steam.
Yeah.
Of the game.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those, I'm realizing I don't have those even further down on my wish list, so I have to go put those on there.
Awesome, cool, but let's go ahead and call it. Where can we find all of your things?
You can find me on Twitter at EganWorks. I tweet crazy stuff all the time because I run my mouth.
Super crazy. You would not believe the shit that this guy tweets.
It's insane. I'm on Tumblr. My main sort of personal Tumblr is theworksofegan.tumblr.com. Though I also have Tumblrs for Vlog and Egan Works, and you can figure that out. And
good luck.
My main stuff is on YouTube at youtube.com/vlogandegan. Though my production stuff, such as most recently the documentary I did on our friend with Duct Tape, Duct Tape Dave, is at youtube.com/eganworks.
Go watch that, please.
Yeah.
The only place where I am ever present is on Twitter, and that is at Zach Bruin. I talk about things, I guess. That's pretty much it for me. What about all of our blog stuff?
All of our blog stuff. The main blog itself, though I was going to mention we seem to be more a podcast than a blog, because we don't really write anything anymore.
Yeah, that seems to be happening more.
We need to write more stuff.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Not to mention that video stuff. God, who is in charge?
I don't know, some guy with a job who goes to New York a lot, apparently.
Asshole. Anyway, that can be found. The place where we post links to our podcast can be found at firstpersonblogsim.wordpress.com. And it is also all over social media, on Twitter at FPBSim, on Tumblr at fpbsim.tumblr.com, and on Facebook at facebook.com/fpbsim.
Yes, and if you don't want to go to... if you don't want to go through the hassle of going to the WordPress and then going to the Podomatic page to listen to this, we are also on iTunes if you look up First Person Blog Simulator, which is first-person blogs, or first-person podcast simulator. Mm. We are on iTunes, and it usually updates on Wednesdays. If you know, I can get it up by then. Usually Wednesdays or Thursdays, and we try and do them weekly. If you dig us, please give us a review. They mean a bunch to us, especially since we're still starting out. Also want to mention, congrats to us on our 10th episode.
Hooray!
Yay! That's about as long as my last podcast lasted.
Ooh.
As well. But
so
the
we
thing
just
was
have
like
to make it past this, and then
right, yeah, and we break the record, shatter nice. It. The thing is, though, with the other one, we were doing that one probably over the course of maybe anywhere between 6 to 8 months, maybe up to about a year. So, I mean, we've only been doing this since only for maybe 3 months, I think.
Is it really?
I think so. I don't think it's been that long.
We should check when our first post was.
Yeah. Hmm.
Crazy.
No, that's super awesome, though. I am very proud of us.
Oh,
and
yes. Yeah,
there will only be more podcasts to come because I love doing this. This is awesome.
It is. It is
a lot of fun.
Even over Skype. It's going well.
Yeah. Really digging it. And remember, you can always email why we're wrong about Microsoft,
right.
Even though you're wrong,
totally.
Maybe, at fbvsim@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Please send us hate mail. Mostly.
Please send us hate mail.
And our questions. We actually haven't gotten any questions from anybody, which is totally fine. It's like 7 people listen to this. But if you ever have any questions, we will totally answer them. You'll definitely get them answered. Because we don't get a lot of questions sent to us. So
it'll only give us more things to talk about that are interesting.
Yep. So do that.
Cool.
All right, cool. Mike, say goodbye.
Goodbye.